On the Case, in partnership with Wilson Nesbitt Solicitors, the forward-thinking legal people.
It's just after 11:15. It's daytime on Downtown Now. If you've been watching Emmerdale, you'll know that Ashley is battling vascular dementia. It's a horrible disease, but did you know that dementia and Alzheimer's have overtaken heart disease as the biggest cause of death in the UK? So the chances are that someone in your family or someone you know has been or will be affected. This morning I'm joined in the studio by our legal expert, Lenore Rice. And really, Lenore, what we want you to do this morning is talk us through how you can look after your financial and health affairs and how they can be looked after maybe by somebody else, by a family member, if you do need help. Really, to explain what powers of attorney are all about.
Yes, Siobhan. An awful lot of us living older and longer, and unfortunately a lot of elderly clients out there that are susceptible to abuse. So what I would say to you is if you're interacting with your solicitor about your will or any other matter, have a chat with them about making a power of attorney. It's the law is slightly different here than England. Our enduring power of attorney legislation only extends to your financial affairs. Your welfare is dealt with by your next of kin. So any decisions with regards where you should be living, etc., that's up to your next of kin. If it's to do with your finances and you want to devolve that power onto someone else, you need to make a power of attorney document. But you've got to make that while you're compos mentis. If you've lost your faculties, then unfortunately, regrettably, it's too late. So then what do your family do? Your family then have to make an application to the court to become your financial controller and seek authority for the court for what they can or cannot do.
So really, in a perfect world, whenever we're making our wills, we would all be thinking about, you know, should I need help or assistance?
Absolutely.
This is who I'm appointing, and you can change that at any time.
You get to choose. Absolutely. You get to choose who it is that you trust and who you would want to devolve that power onto. And you're generally it will be your next of kin in any event, your close family, because they will know what your financial needs are going to be, and they'll know a bit about your financial history. So early in life, you will tend to find typically a husband and wife will appoint each other anyway, and then as they start to get a little older, they would then maybe start to think, look, we'll appoint some of the children. You can appoint 1, 2, 3, or 4, as long as it's a workable situation. Appointing a couple obviously spreads a bit of the responsibility, which is helpful as well.
So you can appoint more than one person?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You can appoint professionals, particularly if you have a lot of assets and there's going to maybe be some financial advice required. And you're devolving that power. You're asking help from those individuals that, because you can't simply make those decisions yourself anymore.
Yeah, because it's a difficult conversation to have with someone who's a little bit older, and you're maybe beginning to notice that they're just getting a little bit forgetful. And, you know, in lots of families, I'm sure there's, you know, would you go and do this for me? Would you do that? You know, would you go to the post office for me? Could you go to the bank?
Yeah.
Could you get my Christmas presents for me? Those sort of things. And you begin to notice that maybe someone needs that wee bit of extra help.
Extra help is right. It if you make the power of attorney document, however, it protects that person that's doing that help, because otherwise, you know, lawfully, what are they doing? So it protects the person who's making it. It protects their assets and it puts the responsibility onto the attorneys, but it also helps protect them. At any time, if you are incapable, the document, the power of attorney document's registered in the court, in a certain section of the court. So that, it's called the Office of Care and Protection, and it's part of the High Court, and it's there to look after all vulnerable elderly clients. So it's a bit of a safeguard mechanism. So if anybody wanted to complain about an action or conduct of an attorney, then that's the avenue to go to.
Now, to set up power of attorney, how do you do it?
It's very, very simple. The Law Society here in Northern Ireland, they have standard forms, which every solicitor will have. So the person who's going to make it, they simply make an appointment with their solicitor. They'll take them through the document to have a bit of a chat on who they might want to appoint and why. And the terms of the power, you can put restrictions in if you like. So that's, the solicitor will discuss all of that, and it's very, very cheap.
Yeah, and it's a big responsibility being the person who has powers of attorney.
You will normally, what would happen in the event that the person later in life, they've made the document, they later then become incapable, what will happen is normally the attorney will approach the solicitor to get the original document. what we do in our office, the part of the procedure is we don't release it until we have medical evidence to say that that person is incapable. And then we discuss the registration process in the court. And then you tend to find that because the attorney, we've maybe built that relationship with them, they'll stay with us for some general guidance and we'll help them, keep them right.
How common is financial abuse of elderly people or someone suffering with dementia or Alzheimer's?
It's very, very rife. It's very, very common. There's a lot of UK case law about this at the minute. What I would say to family, be very, very vigilant. If someone is at home and they've maybe recently bereft, they're very lonely, maybe they're physically incapacitated, and the more assets you have, the more vulnerable that you are, and the more susceptible you could be to financial abuse. So be vigilant, be wary of any kind of unusual conduct in about somebody, you know, your bank statements.
But it's much, much easier to set up, you know, to put a clause in your will and name somebody as power of attorney, who has
well,
powers
the will
of attorney.
No, a will is a completely separate legal document. The power of attorney is a separate document.
But it's something
isolation.
You would do at the same time, maybe when
Absolutely.
You're making your will, if you're or if you're thinking of updating your will, talk to your solicitor about powers of attorney and what you should do before, hopefully, you'll never need it.
Before, yeah, absolutely. That's what we say to clients. Look, let's make it. Let's put it away with your will and hope to God we never need it. But at least it is there for your family to point to if it is. Even if someone has been appointed as an attorney, again, the other family members could and should be vigilant so that there's no abuse going on there. Even though that person trusted you at a point in time, you've got to... you take your position as attorney seriously. You have to adhere to the law. But some people, unfortunately, step outside that. So, all I can say is, and stress, be very, very vigilant. We are experts in this particular area, and we see a lot of cases with a lot of abuse.
It's very sad. It's sad to know that. But if anybody wants to get any more information, they can go to the Wilson Nesbitt website. There's lots on there as well. But for now, Lenore Rice, thank you so much for joining us, and happy Christmas to you as well. Our last one before Christmas.
Yes, Siobhan, and you and the listeners too. Thank you.
On the Case, in partnership with Wilson Nesbitt Solicitors. The Forward Thinking Legal People.